So we set the table. We are coming to the Seder, and as we said, we're in a rush. We want to catch the Seder before the kids fall asleep. And one of the biggest mistakes people make when it comes to the Seder is they show up at night and they say, okay, I'm getting this pillow, I'm getting this chair. Where's this wine goblet? Where's that wine goblet? Let's set the table. No, everything has to be set by midday. You guys, those of you who have come to me previous years, know that in the morning, right after we burn the chametz, we prepare all the things for the table. And by noontime, when we go to mincha at 1 o'clock, everyone's agadah has to be at the table. Everyone's pillow has to be at the table. So that when we walk through that door, come the Seder night, we don't lose any time. Kiddush, on the spot. I walk through the door, I don't wait for a single guest. Everyone has to be ready. They have to know that, because the focus of the Seder is our job to give over the tradition of Judaism to our children, to give over to them the roots of why we are Jews. This is so important tonight. We're going to discuss the roots of where it all came from, how we all began. We go back to Avraham Avinu. We go back to Egypt. We go back to the very beginning to discuss where the Jewish people came from. This is the most pivotal night of Jewish history. This is the night where we pass on the tradition and we tell our kid, hey son, I'm telling you what my dad told me, and we've been doing this night. This is the anniversary of the night of the Exodus. Remember, this is the night it all began on. Tonight is the anniversary. And you know what? Since we left Egypt, every year we've been doing this here. Now, for those of you who will have people at your Seder table like I do, who show up with cell phones, with car keys, you could ask them to please, before Pesach settles in, turn off their cell phones or put them on silent. It's really not nice in the middle of a Seder to hear SMSs. So we'll make believe right now we're running into the Seder and we'll all turn our cell phones on to silent. But at the Seder, obviously, we're not supposed to be with cell phones, not supposed to be with car keys. I can't forget the Seder night we had. We got a phone call 2 hours before the Yom Tiv. They said there's a Jew here in Jerusalem who was nabbed by the Jews for Jesus, guys. And they told him, come, we'll show you what a real Seder is. And someone was standing right next to him and he said, I'll send you to Rabbi Frankenthal. You'll see a real Orthodox Seder there. So the guy says, are you sure? So he calls me and he tells me, I'm standing here and it's either you or Jews for J. Oh, he said, okay, send them to me. Fine. He shows up. He comes to the Seder and we're pouring the cups of wine. And he says, not me, I still got to drive tonight. And in the middle of the Seder, he pulls out his car keys and says, Rabbi, that was very nice. Thank you very much. Now it's time for me to go back. The hostel closes their doors at midnight. We'll talk. Goodbye. But okay, we did ours, you know. Okay, so that was our...
Is it like a Shabbat?
It's like Shabbat. We don't drive. We don't turn on electric. It's a Yom Tov. The only leniency we have is that we will be able to bake and cook because Yom Tov doesn't fall out on Shabbos. So we're allowed to use a fire that's lit already to bake and cook on Yom Tov. So, at our Seder, we have to have our things prepared. So we have the famous Seder plate. What goes on the Seder plate? So let's say we need three matzahs. Why do we need three matzahs? Because we're going to break one, and then we need two for Lecha Mishneh, right? Like every holiday, we have two loaves of bread. So being that one is going to be broken, we need another two to make it into three. So that's the real reason why we have three matzahs. You have three matzahs because you're going to break one to commemorate the fact that the Jews were impoverished and couldn't afford a normal loaf of bread. The matzah is called lechem oni, a poor man's bread, because the Jews were so impoverished, they were enslaved, so they ate the matzah in poverty, in dire poverty, and that's why we eat the matzah broken. It's a poor man's bread, lechem oni. So one matzah is going to be broken to commemorate that. You still need two whole matzahs, like Lecha Mishneh, like every Shabbos and Yom Tov. So that's why you have three matzahs, one to break and another two for to make amotzi on when you begin the meal. So that's three matzahs. Customarily, the Kabbalists call them Kohen, Levi, Yisrael, and all kinds of other nice things, but the reason is the way we discuss. So we have three matzahs, okay. And traditionally, only the head of the table has a Seder plate. Everyone gets from his plate. And that goes back to the central idea of Pesach, which is the father is giving over to his kids. And even if you're not there with your father, the head of the table is supposed to be giving over to the kids. Today, the world's got all mixed up, where the father comes to the Seder, and he's coming from work, and he has no clue what's supposed to happen. And the kids are feeding him the lines. Well, that's not the way it's supposed to be. You as parents are supposed to give over the Seder to your kids. You're giving over tradition. Now, we set up the Seder plate. So how do we set up the Seder plate? We have three matzahs, and we cover them the way we do on a regular Yom Tiv. In ancient times, every person used to have their own table set in front of them. And then, when the meal was over, you'd remove the table. When the meal would begin, you'd place the table in front of them. We don't have that anymore today, right?
A table?
Yeah, every person would have his own setting, his own table.
Like a tray maybe you'd set on the table?
Yeah, something like that, right. A tray that you'd set on the table, but each one had their own table. Mm-hmm. Now, much of what we're going to do tonight is going to be to urge the kid to ask us questions. And we're going to do some strange things. So one of the things we do on the Seder night is before we even start the meal, we ask the waiters, guys, thank you very much, everything was delicious. And they're told to remove the table as though the meal is over. And the kid is going to say, hey, wait a second, we ain't eaten anything. What are you removing the table for? Right, that's the idea. That we want to get him to ask questions. That's the whole idea of the karpas. Why do we have a little piece of pepper to dip? Because usually they dip inside the meal. And the kid is going to see, we didn't even start the meal. And they're suddenly dipping? They didn't eat the bread? What's going on here? So what's our Seder plate really going to be like? We're going to have a vegetable. We call it karpas. In the days of the Talmud, karpas was celery, right? So they used celery to dip a green vegetable, yeah, in salt water. And we're going to have what else on our Seder plate? We're going to have the maror. And the maror gets dipped in the charoseh. So let's have some maror, the ground horseradish. And the maror gets dipped in the charoseh. So the maror is on the right, the more important one. And then, so here again, we have the karpas to be dipped in the salt water, the maror to be dipped in the charoseh, and at the very end, we have an egg. The egg is to commemorate the main part of the meal, which was the chagiga sacrifice. What meat did they eat the whole meal? So they bring a sacrifice in honor of the holiday called the chagiga sacrifice, and that was the meat. Unless Yom Tov fell out on a Sunday, the main part of the meal was the meat of the korban chagiga. So that's what the egg, it's a cooked egg, because you could cook the chagiga, right? That sacrifice you could cook. And then we have a roasted shank bone, which we will not eat. And that roasted shank bone is to commemorate the Paschal offering. One. We have the Seder plate ready, okay? And the Kabbalists have a different way of organizing the Seder plate. Do whatever you want. All I've got is print the Kabbalist way. This is the traditional way, but most people today do it like the Kabbalists. So that's one traditional way. You guys all have your goblets? Okay, we're going to be like free men tonight, which means free men in the days of the Talmud used to eat their meals on a recliner. No one sat up. They would eat them the way you see all those famous pictures, you know, the philosophers in the ancient days, how they would, how do we do this? Whatever. You guys ever see those pictures of those philosophers leaning back on a bed as they're smoking their cigarette, thinking about life? Yeah, you guys ever saw that? Those famous pictures? So that's the idea. That's what we're doing tonight. And the way to recline that makes sense is to shift your chair around to your left. We always recline to the left. Because if you don't shift your chair around, so then you're leaning in the air, on the air trying to make something of the pillow, and it really doesn't make sense, and it's uncomfortable. So you could have another chair if you're in your own house and you actually have room.
Why to the left and not the right?
Because for some reason, we don't exactly understand the Talmud, but the Talmud assumes that a person is more prone to choke if he leans to his right than if he leans
so
to his left.
For digestive purposes.
For digestive purposes, yeah. So we're going to lean because we're commemorating the fact that we're free men tonight, and there's a dual nature to the Seder. One of the themes that is going to permeate throughout the Seder is Matchil b'gnut u'msayem b'shevach. We begin with the gnut, with the shameful past that we have, and we end with the praiseful redemption that we're free men. Now, in essence, this has a very potent message to the kid, because we're telling the kid, hey, we all have a humble past, we all have a humble beginning. You know, the Talmud says no one could be a leader in the Jewish people unless he has a kupashel shratzim me'acharav, unless he has a pack of vermin in his backpack. That's their way of saying skeletons in his closet. The Talmud says no one. You know, it was interesting when I was dating. So I once had a girl's mom ask me, do you have skeletons? So I said to her, yeah, and so do you. So she said, what are yours? I said, do your homework. I'm not asking you for yours. Don't you ask me for mine. Everyone has skeletons. But Chazal tell us that big people have big skeletons. King David had a very difficult history. And part of the message we're telling the kid tonight is that we as a Jewish people, we have a history. We come from pagans. We have to remember our humble beginnings. We have to remember our forefathers were slaves and they deserved it. They became slaves because they deserved it. They became slaves because they hated one another unnecessarily. There was sinas chinam. And they became slaves because there was slander, because there was lack of unity. It's not by coincidence we ended up as slaves. When we say, when we say, we come from slaves, what we're saying is, we have a humble beginning. And we have a lot to thank for when we're sitting here tonight. So, one of the themes of the night is going to be freemen. One of the themes of the night is going to be enslaved. Look at where we were. The Sfardim actually have a custom that they recreate the Exodus. They walk around and they put a pillow over their shoulder and they start commemorating what actually happened as they left Egypt. So that's a Sfardi minig, and as we learn the Haggadah, we'll analyze where that comes from. We had a request over here to add some Hasidic thought to our Seder. I don't like doing that usually, but I respect the one who made the request, so we'll try to spice up our Seder with a little bit of Hasidic thought that we usually don't do. What?
Here's the breast of Haggadah.
Okay, so there's a Hasidic thought that I grew up on as a child, that we eat the karpas, and the karpas is usually a vegetable that grows underground. And one of the ideas of the karpas is that we're saying, look at this filthy vegetable. Here it was among the worms and the filth and the dirt, and it could make it to the royal table of the Seder. And that's a message of where Am Yisrael was. We were in the filth of Egypt. We were the filth of the filth, and we were one of them. We thought of ourselves as, in many ways, we believed in the Egyptian God. We appointed our firstborns as idols, just like the Egyptians did. So we were one of them in many ways. And look at where we got to. And that's a voice of encouragement to every person that comes out at the Seder. So now, let's begin. We rush home. We remember in Shul, we're going to say Hallel, which goes back to an old custom. There used to be people who didn't know how to read and didn't have Haggadah and didn't know how to do the Seder, so they do a whole Seder in Shul for them, a one-shot deal. And they'd say the Hallel in Shul with them. And they'd have the full Seder in Shul. So today, we still say the Hallel in Shul. We're going to say the Hallel during the Seder as well. And then we rush home, we put on a kittel, and that's part of our royal clothing. Whenever they'd bring a sacrifice, they'd wear special clothing in honor of the sacrifice. And we're also reminding ourselves, I'm going to be buried in this. Even though I put out all my royal dishes, I have all my gold and silver cutlery out, so I might start feeling really proud. Hey, and they say gold's going to go up too. So at any rate, that's a joke.
You get buried in this?
What? Yeah.
Why do you wear this?
So that we don't get one idea is it's part of royalty. The other idea is that we don't get too proud as we look at all our wealth and our family and we're feeling really good about ourselves. So it's to humble ourselves. Hey, I'm going to get buried in this. The worms are going to eat me in this. Ew. Yeah. So yes.
I've never heard of anybody wearing a kittel at a Pesach Seder.
Yes, that is the Ashkenazi custom. I do not know if Sfaradim do it.
No, I have Ashkenazi cousins. They don't wear kittels.
So tell them they should. That's why you're here tonight. Okay. Now, part of being royalty is that we ask the guy next to us to pour the wine. If you're going to have people over who... The people who are married, there's a custom that the first year that someone's married, he does not wear the kittel. There are all kinds of funny lines as to why not. He doesn't need a reminder. He's going to... At any rate. But the custom is that the first year, many have the custom that the first year a person's married, he does not wear the kittel, but every year thereafter he does. We have someone else pour the wine for us. That's part of being royalty, that we have someone else pour the wine for us. Out of modesty, a man should not pour for a woman, and a woman should not pour for a man. Men pour for men, women pour for women. If you want to pour for your wife, and your wife wants to pour for you, that's okay. Yeah, you could pour my cup of wine. Thank you very much. Wait, let me wash it out. Just a second.